The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drives so you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid, wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast, CBS Sports Daily NFL Podcast. I'm Will Brinson. I'm your host. It is Thursday, October 15th. There's no Thursday Night Football. Whoa. That's right. We had Tuesday Night Football. It threw my brain into a weird twist. I woke up, spent all day Wednesday thinking that it was either Tuesday or Friday for some reason. But that means no showdown on Thursday. But it does mean we get a full in-depth look at the DFS slate for Week 6. And to do that, joining me, Frank Stanfield, and a confused-looking Heath Cummings. Heath, why so serious?
No, I'm not confused or serious. Maybe confused. I haven't had as much time to look at the slate because the slate didn't exist until Wednesday morning. There were some complications over the weekend with DFS and it's a really weird slate because the Cowboys, the Cardinals, the Chiefs, and the Bills all playing on Monday night. And then you've got the Chargers and the Saints on a bye. It's a little bit of a weird slate. I found myself like generally there will be a couple of really high priced players that are just so much better than everybody else. They're going to end up in all my lineups unless I exclude them. And then there's one or two guys at each position that are cheap that I'm like, yeah, I'm going to jam those guys in a ton. This week, it's all $6,000 guys or $7,000 guys. It's really weird.
All right, let's do a quick run around. What was, Frank, I'll start with you. What was one takeaway from week 5 DFS? I don't want to spend too long recapping it like we did last week. A very quick takeaway from each of us.
I think that we had the Giants basically spot on. Don't use Daniel Jones outside of that, but Darius Slayton was fantastic, over 100 yards. So you could continue to use wide receivers against the Cowboys defense, obviously, but everyone except Daniel Jones, basically, and Evan Engram having that touchdown, that second touchdown called back, that obviously hurt a lot of people. He was fine, but I think a little bit disappointing. Darius Slayton, though, I think that was, you know, very key to a lot of people. He was like, whatever, sub 5K. He was awesome last week.
You want me to just pick up, huh?
Oh, yeah,
I'll just go next. We should just continue stacking Jacksonville and whoever they're playing against.
Well, I did that with DJ Chark and it didn't work. So.
No, the DJ Chark angle on that did not work. The Texans angle, the play last week's chalk that scored 0 points in Brandon Cooks, that angle did work.
I wasn't going to take it. I was going to let you do the victory lap for it because it worked out.
I was going to bring it up, but I'm like, no, this is all Heath. Heath was all over Brandon Cooks last week.
Thankfully, I was because about a third of my lineups were Dak Prescott and Amari Cooper last week. So all of that Brandon Cooks helped make up for that and a little bit more.
Yeah, my takeaway is that I've got to be a little more flexible with my chalky running backs. Like I got locked in on Zeke Elliott, and that's fine. Zeke wasn't terrible, but he didn't break the slate or anything.
Right. Yeah. Like my best lineups though, I think almost universally.
Edwards-Helaire.
Oh, was that your second running back?
I think so.
Yeah.
I was going to say, so you faded Mike Davis? I think the lesson is don't fade Mike Davis ever again.
Yeah. Ever.
I had a bunch of Teddy Bridgewater and DJ Moore.
and Robbie Anderson. But I didn't. In fact, I had a lineup that I was in the builder that I was looking at that had those three guys and Mike Davis. I was like, this is just too much. So I took Mike Davis out, and that was a mistake.
Most of my Panthers lineups last week, because Teddy was one of the quarterbacks we talked about, most of my Panthers lineups had all four of them.
Well, that worked very well for you.
It did.
They all got little fire emojis. All right, let's get to the games this week. Speaking of the Panthers, by the way, the Panthers could have put up a lot more points against the Falcons. Mm. They got conservative and just wanted to win the game. And I don't blame them, because the Falcons looked like a pile of dead birds, dead bird carcasses on the side of the highway.
How about the Chiefs? Like, I think Mahomes might have been the second best quarterback on the slate, not in terms of value, but in terms of total points. And they lost like 120 yards and two touchdowns to penalties and didn't score touchdowns on those drives.
It was crazy.
Yeah.
Falcons at Vikings, though. Vikings are -3.5, the over under 55, the highest total in this game. Heath, are you going to smash Adam Thielen here?
Well, yes, but remember what we said about Mike Davis?
Yep.
That also applies to Alexander Mattison.
Oh, yeah. So, I wonder, is he going to be like 80% owned in this?
It might just be that everybody plays those two running backs and we can have a contrarian off with the rest of the lineup. But I can't imagine, I don't even know what the justification for not playing Alexander Mattison at just about any price. When I went through my projections, he's currently, I believe, on the slate, my number two running back in terms of projected DraftKings points. And he's not the number two priced running back. So yeah, I will have a lot of Adam Thielen as well. But mostly it's Alexander Mattison in this game.
Yeah, it's hard to argue with that. I mean, Madison, look, they combined last week, Madison and Dalvin Cook, for 45 touches. We know that that's exactly what the Vikings want to do. The Falcons have actually been better against running backs in terms of yards per carry, but they have gone back to being terrible against pass-catching running backs. They've allowed 23 receptions and 2 receiving touchdowns to running backs over the last 2 weeks. So even at 7,200, it sucks that before they put these prices out, like, they knew that Dalvin Cook was likely going to be out, so they boosted this price up for Alexander Mattison. But I think even at $7,200, you gotta smash him in there.
And he's only 7,000 on FanDuel.
Wait, does that suck? I like that. I mean, it sucks. I mean, I don't think it sucks. He's $7,200. So he's like the same price as, I mean, he's more expensive than Mike Davis. I think it's good for, if you want to fade Alexander Mattison. And I'm not suggesting that that's what you should do, but like, he is priced at the same, like, he's the same price as Derrick Henry. And it would not surprise me at all if Derrick Henry had a better game against Houston than Alexander Mattison had against Atlanta.
I don't think that's crazy.
It would probably, I mean, it's not crazy. It would surprise me though.
Okay. We've seen this spot before.
Right.
What was the friggin' fantasy playoff game or like the end of the season last year? Was it against
Mike
Seattle?
Mike Boone. But I think there's a difference, for me at least. I think Alexander Madison's good.
I do too.
He's really good.
And the Falcons, he's playing the Falcons.
I guess, let me put this a different way. Because he is $7,200, he's not a free square.
It's possible to fade him.
Or also it's possible to play him and not have him be 75% owned at that price.
That's correct.
Which I think is good. Like, if you believe in Alexander Mattison, you want to buy on him, I think there will be a lot of people who play who will take other running backs in that price range over Alexander Mattison, given that he is jacked up.
And it's a different discussion on FanDuel than DraftKings, because Mike Davis, part of his value is catches. The fact that he's $200 less than Mattison, if you're just choosing between those two, I don't know why you can't just play both, but if you're just choosing between those two, I would play Mike Davis over Mattison on DraftKings.
Yes.
On FanDuel, Davis is $500 more, and it's not full PPR, so I would play Mattison over Davis.
Exactly. The PPR helps Mike Davis in any way. Anybody else from this game, Frank, that you can you trust? Oh, Matt Ryan and Calvin Ridley, no one will be on them. Dead cat bounce if you fire your head coach.
I think if you want to bring back, right, if you're going to play Adam Thielen, maybe even sprinkle in some Kirk Cousins, I wouldn't play Kirk Cousins personally because he had like 37 pass attempts and still was not great last week. But I think Ridley, you could bring it back with that, but that's a lot of salary already tied up there. I think that Matt Ryan could be a contrarian play, but like $6,600 is probably still too expensive more than I would want to pay for Matt Ryan. The last name I'll throw out there, Irv Smith, if you just want to punt at tight end, $2,500. He's the stone minimum on DraftKings. And he was more involved last week. He, like, ran more routes than Kyle Rudolph, and he had, like, 4 for 64. So if you just want to punt tight end.
Yeah, I will play quite a bit of Ridley as well. I was just looking on DraftKings because it's always easier to do this on FanDuel. It's hard to start with Mike Davis, Alexander Mattison, Calvin Ridley, and Adam Thielen. You're going to have to play a lot of punt plays from that point forward, but I would really like to start with those four.
You could get Irv Smith in there then. Throw Frank Gore in your flex.
Yeah, well, I mean,
Blacker, Frank Gore stack, anyone?
You may just, I think the key to unlocking that is you play the Bengals defense and just hope Phillip Rivers continues to be Phillip Rivers. Sorry, Will.
No, I don't blame you for that. I hate you.
You're feeling the hurt a little, but it's okay.
I just did the PFF podcast with PFF Sam and PFF Steve, and their producer sent me a list of topics. It was like, one, Phillip Rivers; two, Pete Prisco. It's like, I don't know what's happening here.
Yeah.
I guess, are you worried about having too much Madison? You know, let's get to the next game. This is a game with a high total. Ridley is playable. Ryan is a contrarian play that will be heavily underowned if you want to stack him. Madison, you guys feel, is an absolute hammer smash.
Yep.
And there's nothing wrong with having Thielen and Madison in the same lineup, right?
Correct.
Okay. Thielen has been awesome this year. Also, I think just kind of a gut feeling, random gut feeling, Justin Jefferson game maybe.
I think he's like $6,000. But ooh. Adam Thielen he's leading the NFL in target share and in air yard share for his respective teams. So just.
The Falcons pass defense is atrocious. Mm-hmm. Just on Justin Jefferson too. One of the things that stood out to me with DJ Moore, and obviously anybody that played him, like DJ Moore had a 76-yard touchdown. It wasn't, it wasn't a bomb from Teddy Bridgewater. It was a short pass with yak. Right. And when Justin Jefferson had that breakout game, a lot of it was like Kirk Cousins hitting him and him taking off against bad coverage. And so I don't mind playing Justin Jefferson some either. It's a high scoring game in theory. Moving to the next game, the Lions are favored. I love it. The Lions -3.5 at the Jacksonville Jaguars, the over under 54.5. Heath, can you stack my guy, Matthew Stafford?
I will have both sides of this game stacked heavily. Probably 40% of my lineups will be Minshew and Stafford lineups.
Wow.
A lot of Kenny Golladay, a lot of James Robinson. With a bounce back week after his first bad game of his NFL career, a lot of LaVisca Chenault, a little bit of Keelan Cole, plenty of TJ Hawkinson, maybe a tiny bit of Marvin Jones, but man, he might just be like AJ Green, T.Y. Hilton washed.
Oh, I agree. I love this game. And it goes back to what you said earlier, Heath, basically just stacking Jaguars games and whoever is playing against them. Stafford, $6,300. He's 100 cheaper than Minshew on this slate. The Jaguars have given up 300 plus passing yards in 3 of 5 games. So love Stafford. Love stacking him with Golladay at 6,200. That's a really fair price on DraftKings too. $6,200, 25% target share in the two games that he's appeared in. I like TJ Hawkinson as well. $5,300. The only thing is there's a few other tight ends in that range that I also like Jonnu Smith and Zach Ertz. We'll talk about those guys a little bit later on. James Robinson, really great matchup here, $6,800. And people might be down on him after two, mad weeks. Like, he didn't really come through, and we've been talking him up, so people might be a little bit down on James Robinson. And then my favorite bring back is probably LaVisca Chenault at $5,200. The targets have been up for him the past 3 weeks. I think it's 6 or more targets in 3 straight games.
Are we out on DJ Chark?
You have to see if he's healthy because he didn't practice on Wednesday. He's dealing with an ankle injury. But if he's out, I think that just kind of lends itself to you playing either Chenault or Keelan Cole, who's only 4,900.
This guy had 10 plus targets against the Texans. And Minshew played awful. And James Robinson, although I will say that they missed a bunch of field goals. The Jaguars should have scored 35 points in that game.
Right.
They missed a ton of field goals. They couldn't execute in the red zone. James Robinson had an awful fumble on 4th and 1 where they asked him to pass the ball, which was kind of stupid in the first place. Jaguars bounce back, maybe. I'd rather have Stafford, Golladay, and LaVisca coming back.
That's probably my favorite way to play this game.
Yeah, my most common will probably be Minshew, Chenault, Robinson with Golladay coming back. But I like both sides.
Okay, fair enough. Should be a high scoring game.
Yeah,
get involved in Jack, and it won't be attractive to people.
For so, every week, I think Gardner Minshew is like 3%, 2%, 3%, 4% rostered, and he generally delivers 3x value. So I should just keep going back to him.
All right. Packers at Bucks. The Green Bay Packers -2 at Tampa. That line is moving down. Was 3 over under 54. This is a fascinating litmus test, Heath, because heretofore, the last 2 years, Buccaneers run defense has been outstanding. Vita Vea now out for the season. How much will it affect them? And is Aaron Jones a sneaky smash play against a team that statistically looks like they're good against the run?
Yeah, I don't dislike it. This game, I don't feel like I have a good grasp on at all, to be honest. I don't have a good grasp on the Tampa Bay defense in terms of like their pass defense. Carlton Davis has got a lot of hype this first month of the season and committed a lot of penalties. Which isn't really good for fantasy either. But so, yeah, I mean, it's Adam's first game back. I would like to have some of him, but I'm a little leery about the whole thing.
Yeah, I actually feel exactly the same way. Like, this game has a 54 total as of now, and I'm just not really all that interested. Maybe it's like once we get more information, because we don't know if Chris Godwin's going to play. He's still banged up. I think if he's out, like, Mike Evans is probably going to be a target monster. I don't hate Tom Brady either. Like, I think he has upside. We saw that like 5-touchdown game a couple games ago, and the Packers defense is solid, but I think they're kind of overrated. So I could see him having a big game, but there's like other quarterbacks that are cheaper than Brady that I also think have a lot of upside. So I'm not really all that interested in this game. Aaron Jones, 7,600. I think sneaky big upside here, but we already spoke about Madison, who's $400 cheaper. Derrick Henry is $300 cheaper. Mike Davis is $600 cheaper. It's like you can only play so many running backs, and you can actually save money by not playing Aaron Jones with those guys. So I don't really love this game, actually.
I would be more in on Jones if we get the ownership projections and he's below 5%.
Yeah, I was about to say.
Right.
Because I think, and this is not me calling you like chalky, but I think that that's going to be, I think when people are building out these lineups, having been burnt, by the way, by basically every chalky running back over the last like month.
Except for Mike Davis.
Well, yeah.
Chalky expensive, like the top tier backs. If you played Zeke and Clyde Edwards-Helaire, like you keep pumping this money into DraftKings. You're like, I can't win with these expensive running backs. Screw it. I'm playing that Mike Davis guy everybody keeps cashing millions with. And then Aaron Jones is 3% owned and just goes bananas. Now, does Jamal Williams playing a full, like basically the whole third quarter and change against the Falcons on Monday night concern you at all for this 2 weeks ago?
It doesn't for me. I think that this is kind of how they've always treated Aaron Jones. He's playing 57% of the snaps on the season, and that's just who he is. But they throw the ball to him a ton. They use him in the red zone. So while his snap percentage is lower than other elite running backs, he does get these very high value touches, and Aaron Rodgers is playing at a phenomenal level and keeps targeting him. So personally, no, I'm not worried about it.
Okay, sorry, I'm glad I forget something else, not you. Debo said he didn't
want it. Was my analysis. I'm sorry, Will.
No. It was something else. Debo knows what it was. Debo. He sent a Slack message and said, I don't want to make Will laugh. And then like had like this in addition to it, and I laughed.
Okay.
Okay, sorry. Rojo?
No go.
Oh, I had a choice season-long league to trade Allen Robinson for Jonathan Taylor or Will Fuller for Rojo. Which one would you have done, and or would you have traded neither?
I don't think I would do either, but I think if you were really desperate for running back, I would do the Allen Robinson for Jonathan Taylor.
I don't think I would do
either. Non-PPR, if that helps.
Yeah, I don't think in non-PPR, I do Allen Robinson for Jonathan Taylor.
Okay,
yeah,
I did that one. The guy I traded with had Terry McLaurin and Michael Gallup. He also had Kamara, James Conner, Rojo, and Jonathan Taylor, which sheesh. And I had OBJ, Allen Robinson, Will Fuller, DJ Chark, and Marquise Brown. So I felt like I had enough wide receivers to pop off, and I needed
yeah.
James Robinson and Mike Davis at running back. Okay. Anyway, moving along. Browns at Steelers. The Browns are 4-1 for the first time since 1994. As we pointed out 42 times on this podcast. The Steelers minus 3.5 in this one, over under 51, Heath.
Yeah, I could get behind some Steelers stacks against this Browns pass defense. I think Juju and Claypool are both interesting if Deontay's out. And if Deontay's in, then they're all just tournament plays because we don't really know who the number one in Pittsburgh is. I will probably have just a little bit of Ebron and maybe a little bit of Connor. But again, another game that I'm not planning on like fully stacking.
I agree with that too. You know, I started making a Steelers stack yesterday and bringing it back with OBJ, and I didn't really like the way that the team was turning out. So maybe you bring it back with Kareem Hunt. Like, again, a lot of running backs in that range. Kareem Hunt, $6,900. He just had over 20 touches, and you know the Cleveland Browns want to run. The only thing is it's a really tough matchup against the Steelers, so you have to keep that in mind with Kareem Hunt, but I'm sure other people, like, that will deter other people as well. I think if Deontay Johnson is out, I'd be very, very interested in going back to Chase Claypool.
Wow.
$5,200. And I don't think that you're, you know, just chasing last week's production, but I think that he just... Yeah, no, I deserve that. I just think that he will be more involved if Deontay Johnson's out.
Okay. I do think the Claypool thing, how does that typically go, do you think, in the general DFS world? Because I think we're taught, if we're trying to be sharp about this, that if somebody has a blow up week, you don't go after it. But I wonder if like everybody's on board with that, with a guy like Chase Claypool.
I don't think everybody's on board with that.
So he's going to be heavily owned.
I don't know that. It'll depend on Deontay's status.
But no Deontay, Chase Claypool's getting 30%+.
15 would be 15. My guess. And I'm really terrible at guessing, so you probably shouldn't put any stock in that.
Okay. He's just so cheap at $5,200 where if Deontay's out, like, yeah, you want to get all these high-priced running backs in, you know, Chase Claypool's the way to do it.
Right. That's fair. I'll tell you what won last week, I guess. Oh, mercy. Chase Claypool. So it was Troy. Was it Chase Claypool? And who was the other guy that would have won you the week? Or somebody else who went bananas?
It was mostly Chase Claypool. But
Brandon Cooks.
Not enough people played Claypool for it to matter that much.
There was one more guy who went ape, though. I can't remember who it was. You know what? It doesn't matter now because we're talking about this week. Anybody else from this game that you guys want to touch on?
No.
Jets at Dolphins. Actually, you know what? We'll take a quick break. When we come back, we'll get to the Jets and the magic of Ryan Fitzpatrick against the Jets.
The chilling new original docuseries on Paramount Plus.
Why did he kill his family? The answer lies across the ocean in a woman named Sylvie.
She's a CAN model.
Where desire leads to deception.
I ended up spending $12,000 and $15,000 a day.
It was addictive.
I can't get you out.
And obsession leads to murder.
Who did this to your family?
You can't really maintain a fantasy forever.
Control Alt Desire. Now streaming on Paramount Plus. The hit Paramount Plus original docuseries returns.
The last time I saw Max, he looked at us laughing, and then everything changed in a blink of an eye.
My feeling as a detective is that he was murdered.
Yahoo Entertainment calls it a spine-chilling docuseries showcasing real-life tragedies.
What about when your child who went missing?
We need to know the truth.
Never seen again. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.
All right, so Ryan Fitzpatrick, fun fact, 42% of Ryan Fitzpatrick's career games are actually revenge games because he has played for every team in the NFL.
This is another fun fact.
Yeah. You did play for the Jets, right? Yeah.
Yep, oh,
yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. Okay, actually, he did, right?
He has the franchise record for most passing touchdowns in a season, 31. Don't ask me how I know that.
Because you're a Jets fan. You're a Giants fan.
I'm a Jets fan, unfortunately.
Oh, that's a shame.
I don't know which would be worse right now.
Tank for Trevor.
Yeah, I think I'd rather be a Jets fan than a Giants fan. At least the Jets, you know, you're firing the coach.
And we have a ton of draft picks coming up.
Yeah. So Dolphins are -8.5 against the Jets, over under 47.5. The Jets are trotting out, no lie, Joe Flacco, Frank Gore, and Jamison Crowder, having released, of course, Le'Veon Bell earlier this week. Have you any interest in a Ryan Fitzpatrick and friend of the Pick Six podcast video show, Preston Williams Stack?
I did not know he was a friend of the show.
He was on yesterday.
That's outstanding. Yeah. Yes, I am interested in stacking Fitzmagic. I am interested in Miles Gaskin as a cheaper running back play. Interested in Gesicki and Devontae Parker. Interested in Jamison Crowder coming back. That is where my interest in this game ends.
Okay.
I think the defense is going to be extremely chalk too, so I'll just bring that up. But Miami's DST is 2,900 on DraftKings, and that's likely because they haven't been great. We'll see. They're not terrible, though. Like, their secondary,
they were awesome last week, right?
Yeah, they were really, really good against the 49ers. Like, they got Jimmy G benched. That's how good they were. But, yeah, I like their defense. And I think Miles Gaskin is one of the two sub-6K running backs that I am very, very interested in this week. $5,400, I believe, on DraftKings. Very safe PPR floor. The one thing I would want to make sure is that Jordan Howard is a healthy scratch again, because that obviously helped Miles Gaskin last week. But, yeah, definitely interested in him against the Jets.
Okay. Yeah, I think that this game, even though it's got a high total, probably only, I'm only going to use anybody as like lineup filler. Like, I don't hate Crowder.
Now, Crowder at 6,100, I want to make sure that Perryman and Denzel Mims are not returning, because I think eventually when they return, that's going to affect the target share for Crowder. But as long as he's been in, he's like wide receiver 2 in fantasy points per game behind only Devontae Adams this year. He's been great when he's on the field.
Yeah, and he was getting a 26-27% target share last year when they had Robbie Anderson. It's also Denzel Mims and Breshad Perriman. And they threw the ball 11 times to Jeff Smith last week.
I mean, they scored 10 points against the Cardinals, who beat them 30-10 in a blowout that, you know, wasn't like the Cardinals were concerned. And he had 10 targets, 8 catches, 116 yards, and a score. Like, he's averaged, his yards per reception is way up this year.
That's not the part. That's the one part that you, like, you need to treat him as if he has like 100 fewer yards. But
right. Okay. So, but, well, he has that one long touchdown against,
right,
against the Buffalo Bills. And that was kind of fluky. Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, like, but the good news is that with Darnold out, his targets didn't drop off. That's the important thing.
Yeah. It's like, who else is Joe Flacco going to throw the ball to? But this price range for wide receiver this week is just very enticing. It's like Galladay 62. Crowder 61, Jefferson 6,000, even McLaurin's like 5,700. So,
but the thing about Crowder is, like, he will never be highly owned, because people are like, I'm just not feeling,
because of the game environment and obviously like the team, it's the Jets.
Well, the team sucks, but it's also like, Jameson Crowder. Like, I mean, he might get you 10 catches, but he's probably, yeah, he's not, he doesn't have that like 3-touchdown game in people's minds. I just think he's like a safety net, and he's not very sexy, and you're trying to win $1 million.
Yeah, he doesn't have massive upside, but like 12-15 point floor in PPR, that's pretty good.
No, I think Crowder's awesome. I stand for Jameson Crowder. Texans at the Titans. This one actually should have been higher up on the list because we go in descending order of over-unders, but the Titans played on Tuesday. We recorded this on Wednesday, and we're still waiting for odds to pop up. Texans, Titans -3, the over-under 53.5, Heath, a potential shootout coming in this game.
Yeah, I would even remove the potential parts. I think it's just going to be a good old fashioned shootout. Love Tannehill at his price. Love Watson, Fuller, Cooks. Maybe a little Fells if Akins is still out. Jonnu is easily my top tight end on the slate, in terms of both points per dollar and just points. So yeah, that's, I will have a lot of Jonnu bringing it back, but also just Jonnu in the other lineups.
What would you guys say the chances are that Adam Humphries or Corey Davis play this week?
Or I would put at 40%, and I would put at 20%.
That's probably right.
Okay, because I think that affects things, obviously. Like, A.J. Brown, I think, is just a gift. At $5,600. Like, that is $5,600 on DraftKings. His upside is massive. It takes a bit of a hit if those guys are back in the lineup, but even still, it's like $5,600 is fantastic for A.J. Brown, Tannehill. I think this game is up there with Jaguars, Lions, Falcons, Vikings. Like, I just want to jam as many of these players into my lineup as I possibly can. Really like Brown, really like Tannehill, like Watson, like Cooks, like Fuller. Derrick Henry's interesting, $7,300. He leads all running backs in the NFL in red zone opportunities, but he also played a season low 52% of the snaps.
That was really weird on Tuesday night. He was coming out in a manner that would indicate he was not in 100% game shape. It wasn't even like just at the end, like when they were, I mean, in the very beginning of that game, he was coming off the field for Darrington Evans, who is now hurt. We don't know what his status is. And then McNichols is on there. And it was accentuated on the broadcast. It was bizarre.
Well, the guy's on pace even after last night for like 440 touches.
Okay, that's a good point.
It's true.
But maybe they're trying to ease him.
I think so.
He went 31, 25, 26 in the first 3 weeks, which is highly unnecessary.
I think there's a good chance they looked at that and said, we paid this guy. We need him to like survive this season and beyond. So yeah, I'm a little leery of Henry in this spot.
Okay. There's also a chance that they're like, hey, we got the Texans next week. It's a big game.
True.
By the way, Deshaun Watson in his career, 4 games against the Tennessee Titans and or Houston Oilers. I don't know why that was listed like that. He has completed 72.7% of his passes. He averages 261.5 yards per game, 10 touchdowns, 4 picks, only sacked 10 times in those 4 games, averages 8.9 yards per attempt. He's just good against them.
He is awesome against them, but I did forget this is Jadeveon Clowney revenge game.
Ooh, but there's no revenge to be had because Bill O'Brien's already been fired.
That's true.
Yeah. Jeffrey Simmons, I would throw him into the Humphrey stuff because that matters. Simmons is a monster.
Yeah.
I don't think you're playing. I'm done with David Johnson. I'm just not playing.
Yeah. Ever. Yeah. He's not in the lineup.
Yeah. I mean, like for the rest of the year, I don't care what his price tag is. I'm done playing.
Yeah. There's not much upside there. They don't throw the ball to the running backs. Duke Johnson is back as well. So David Johnson's snaps have come down a little bit. I'll also mention the fact that Adoree Jackson, their cornerback, who is quite good, is eligible to return this week. That doesn't necessarily mean that he will return. So keep that in mind.
Okay. I was going to say this. I saw Ben Gretsch, our former coworker, awesome guy, on Twitter talking with somebody else who I follow from like Fantasy Labs that I can't remember his name, Ryan Hoge maybe or something like that. Anyway, they were going back and forth and I just noticed that they're like, yeah, the first thing I did was stack Watson and Cooks and bring it back with AJ Brown. So I wonder is that the chalk this week?
It will be very chalky, I think.
AJ Brown's on DraftKings is because he's 65 on FanDuel, so he might not be quite as chalky there. On DraftKings at 5,600, he should be the highest rostered wide receiver.
Okay. Does that concern you at all? I mean, like, would that sway you from playing it, or is it just, hey, look, that's chalky, I'm gonna roll? Like, I mean, it sounds like if you go, Watson, Mike Davis, who else did we say?
Madison.
Alexander Madison.
Yeah. Watson, Mike Davis, Madison, and then you go Cooks or Fuller, and then AJ Brown, like, you have the chalk built out.
Yeah, basically. And that's already a very high priced lineup. So you're going to need a really cheap tight end and you're going to need like Miles Gaskin potentially as your flex there, 5,400. Okay. So a lot of the lineups that I built out so far basically all have AJ Brown and all have Miles Gaskin.
I don't have a problem with 100% AJ Brown. His ceiling is stupid, especially against a bad pass defense.
Like you don't like always have to fade the chalk. Sometimes it's just a free space where the price is so good.
Brandon Cooks is still $5,000.
Yeah.
I'm sorry for interrupting, but.
No, you're like, but the thing with Cooks is that there's a lot of
variance. It's going to be a fuller game.
Wow. There's a lot of variance.
There's quite a bit of variance with AJ Brown, isn't there?
Yes.
Well, we only have a 2-game sample of him playing this year and he scored in both of them.
Well, we could look at the rest of his career.
Right.
He is a, if this is a shootout, AJ Brown will get a touchdown. I'll bank on that.
Yeah. But I think to Heath's point, right? Like you can have both of those, like you can have Cooks and AJ Brown in your lineup and that's how you're able to spend up at running back.
For sure.
I've almost completed it. This should be the chalk. This always works out well when I do this on.
By the way, I will point out too that the chalk, or the free square, Olamide Zaccheaus. Thanks, pal.
So you're telling me I should play Olamide Zaccheaus this week?
Probably, yeah.
Okay, so Ryan Tannehill at quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Mike Davis and Alexander Mattison at wide receiver, at running backs. That would be very contrarian if we play those guys at wide receiver. Receivers are Fuller, Cooks, and AJ Brown. Mm-hmm. Tight end is Jonnu Smith. So we got the full Houston, Tennessee stack with the chalk running backs, Chase Claypool at flex, and the Bengals defense. Fits like a glove.
Okay, there it is.
Nothing contrarian about it at all.
You can go and hit submit. Go and hit submit before you lose that $1 million, Heath.
450-way tie for first. Everybody gets $20,000.
I'll sign for it.
Deal.
Ravens at the Eagles. Over under, or Ravens minus 8, over under 47.5. Does the Travis Fulgham train roll on?
I don't hate it. He's $4,400. Like, you have to pay attention to the practice reports this week and see who's playing for the Eagles. It seems like Alshon Jeffrey and DeSean Jackson are close every week. But if they are out, Fulgham at 4,400 is not terrible.
Do you think that after this past week, Doug Peterson sees Jackson and Jeffrey hobbling around? He's like, man, those guys aren't good anymore. Fulgham.
Does anyone have the drum roll on the? I don't have it on my.
Fulgham. You ever rode Master 2? Like, he wants to play Fulgham instead.
Yeah.
Get it?
Tyron Mathieu.
Oh, that's supposed to be a laugh.
So. Tyron Mathieu.
That's Breed singing Tyron Mathieu. What else do I have in here? This is the Brady Quinn sound drop. You remember that from the 90s?
I've got to figure out how to get things into my mixer.
You have the Roadcaster?
No. But
I could help you out if you have the Roadcaster. I have this bad boy. Mercy! I just have a bunch of baseball ones, basically.
Right? We do these. Well, these are popular on other podcasts. Oh, ho, ho! And then this is the John Breach dunking on.
Oh, he missed! He missed! Oh, and he may have pulled a hamstring or a muscle.
That's when Randy Bullock shanked that week one kick against the Chargers. All right, I don't know what happened. Is Lamar going to win anybody $1 million this year, or is he just going to suck? Because he's basically equal to Derek Carr in fantasy points.
I think we're going to get a blow up game eventually, but you have to keep playing him until that happens, and you just don't know when it's going to happen. I think it's going to be a game where, like, he's trailing, it's a shootout, he has to just go off and do his thing. But I think in these games where the Ravens are big favorites, and we don't have, like, a huge total in this game either, I just think they probably just build up another first-half lead and probably sit on the ball in the second half. Like, he had 3 rushing yards last week, and he's averaging, like, right around 40 or 45 rushing yards per game on the season. That is down tremendously from last year, and that was a huge part of his value, so I've faded him a lot to this point in the season, and I'm probably going to continue to do so.
I will play some Lamar this week.
He announced to the world. Lamar has 1 game this season with more than 10 rushing attempts.
I don't think they want him to run as much this year.
Well, but he threw it 37 times last week, right?
Yep.
Yeah, let's just cut that back to like 32, and we'll run it 8 times, and we'll call it good.
He's also kind of dealing with this knee thing that he missed practice last week, so that might be part of it as well.
They pulled him in the fourth quarter against the Washington team for RG3. That's a problem. I mean, like, he was having a millimaker winning week and then stopped scoring points.
But that makes sense. I mean, they need to play somebody that's going to score some points against them. I'm not sure Carson Wentz is going to do that.
Well, that's the thing is, like, the Pittsburgh game last week with Philly, that was a blowout. And Pittsburgh just couldn't put it away and salt the game away. I think if Lamar and the Ravens had that same lead this week, they will salt it away.
Oh, it's over. Yeah.
So that would be, I'm probably going to fade Lamar this week then. He'll go nuts. Watch. Bengals at Colts. Colts minus 8 over under 46.5. Obviously, this is a situation where Phillip Rivers and T.Y. Hilton are the smash factor for a stack. Right, guys? Right? Right? Am I right? Huh?
I do not want to play anyone. Maybe Jonathan Taylor.
Yeah, I'd play Taylor.
Yeah, I think Taylor is sneaky. $6,400 on DraftKings. Big home favorite here for the Colts. This could be the game where he, you know, bounces back with like 20-plus touches and 100 yards, 2 touchdowns.
Stack him up with the defense.
Yeah, no, it's not a bad play. That's basically what I've been doing with the Dolphins, just Dolphins defense and Gaskin.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think, too, that you will see the Colts got in a situation where they couldn't really run the ball and get a, like, they want to get a lead, and run the ball and shorten the game. And that it just sets up well for Jonathan Taylor against a Bengals team. So we should, the Colts play 4-3, you know, they play a 4-3. They primarily play a zone. And I think you'll see them sit back and play zone and force Joe Burrow to make some tough throws into tighter windows. Now, Darius Leonard needs to be back. If there's no Darius Leonard, I would be interested in Joe Mixon.
Love his role in the passing game. He had 14 targets the past 2 weeks. That's the most he's ever had in a two-game stretch in his career.
When they did this last year, at the end of last year, and they're like, all right, fine, we got to get Mixon involved. And when they did that, he had a monster game. So we saw him do it against the Jaguars. I don't think the Colts is the same spot, but if Leonard is missing, I think it's a good opportunity for him.
Yeah, it's back-to-back games with 30-plus touches for Joe Mixon. Like, there are not many other running backs we're talking about getting 30 touches on a weekly basis right now. And the 8 targets was a career high, 14 over his last 2 weeks. So, yeah, I just hope that doesn't go away because, like, he has that skill. They just haven't necessarily used him in that way as long as he's been in the NFL.
Okay, so just the running backs here for us and maybe the Colts defense. Broncos at the Patriots. Patriots minus 9. I guess it means Cam's back, or maybe not. This game is on Monday. Oh, no, this game's on the slate. Let's move past this game. Sorry.
It is on the slate, isn't it?
No. Oh, it is Sunday. Chiefs-Bills is Monday. Sorry. Correct. That's my fault. Broncos at Patriots. Patriots, it was moved from Monday. Patriots minus 9, over under 46.5. I can't imagine there's a whole lot to love here.
There's a whole lot to question here.
Yeah.
Is Melvin Gordon active? If he's not, then Philip Lindsay maybe becomes the cheap chalk.
Mm. Could Philip Lindsay be snagged in any league where he's unowned in a season?
If he's not on, if he's on the waiver wire, he should not be on the waiver wire anymore.
Yeah.
Melvin Gordon was charged with DUI for what it's worth, or I think pulled for DUI.
He's probably going to face some kind of suspension, I would imagine.
You would think they would just cut him.
The Broncos?
No.
They invested a decent amount of money. I don't know how much of it is guaranteed, but I don't think so.
Okay.
I could be wrong about that.
It was a 2-year $16 million deal with $13.5 million guaranteed. So yeah, they're not cutting him.
There's clauses.
Yeah.
This could void the guarantee.
Sure. If you can avoid the guarantees, you get rid of them. Any interest in Cam if he plays?
I'm not really interested in this game at all. But Lindsay's 4,300, so you know, just pay attention to this Melvin Gordon situation. The Patriots defense is $4,100 as well, so I guess we'll see who the Broncos quarterback is.
It's a possibility you could do a Damian Harris Patriots stack.
Ooh, I like Damian Harris.
Harris is 5,000. Not bad.
I wish they would throw it to him a little bit, but yeah.
Cam will not be owned if he plays.
I would presume not. His price is quite a ways up there, right?
6,500. So yeah, that is the sixth highest price quarterback. Same price as Tom Brady and higher than Stafford and Minshew.
Yeah, he'll be and way higher than it's like 10% higher than Tannehill.
Yeah. Can't really justify it.
Which is maybe the reason he should be a contrarian play.
All right, moving on. We don't like this game. Bears at Panthers. Panthers minus 2.5, over under 44.5. Panthers were fantastic, as we mentioned last week. I do not foresee them being quite as fantastic this week.
No. No. Mike Davis, David Montgomery, both in play. Allen Robinson is probably my favorite receiver in this game, but I don't really like any of them, and I'm not going back to Teddy.
Yeah. Mike Davis is very playable because I think the Panthers will throw to him no matter what the situation is. And David Montgomery call is a good one. I mean, that's how you beat the Panthers, by running the football. You just have to,
And they're throwing it to him more with Cohen gone.
True. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sneaky play then. Washington at the Giants. The Giants minus 3, the over under 43. Oh, Frank's face. Classic.
I think both defenses are in play.
Sure.
I like Slayton again. I like Terry McLaurin. Okay. That's probably it, but Slayton for sure.
Slayton's 5,400 on DraftKings, and Terry McLaurin is 57. I don't hate McLaurin either, but it's when you could get A.J. Brown for $100 cheaper, it's kind of hard to justify. Unless you play both. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, this game is not one to be. So, all right, it really feels like the ownership concentration is going to be targeted to three games here. Falcons, Vikings, Lions, Jaguars, and Texans, Titans.
Yes.
Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense.
Do we think that'll be the that's going to be chalky? I mean, there's just a lot of games where it's not.
And then Madison and Mike Davis.
Right. And the Colts running back, whose name
Jonathan I Jonathan Taylor.
Jonathan Taylor. He's
yeah, loves. Yeah. God, gift that, dude.
Played at Wisconsin.
Yeah, I know. I just traded for him. He's on my team now. Sunday Night Football, the Rams at the 49ers, over under 50.5. Any thoughts early on? Rams minus 3.5. Any thoughts early on about a Captain DFS showdown?
It's Mostert or Kittle, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that probably makes the most sense. Maybe like a Cooper Kupp, but probably not.
I guess with what Ryan Fitzpatrick just did to them, Jared Goff might make some sense. I don't understand really what's going on with the 49ers, but they might just be bad.
Jimmy Garoppolo might just be bad, and he might not even be their quarterback.
Okay. Beer. Any beer?
Yeah, I had some beer. I had a sour double IPA from Six Point.
Oh, nice.
I am trying to pull it up now. And it was like, I don't know how you guys are on the sours. I'm a little bit like hot and cold, but this one was very, very well. Cosmic Handshake. It was very, very well done. Man.
Saving that for later. No, I'm very big on the sour beers, man. But I could see why most people, like, they're polarizing. And sure. I guess that makes sense. But when you get like the sour IPA together, it's like a nice blend. It's like not too sour.
Will's not buying it, I don't think.
I need the sour for the IPA portion. I like sours, but I need to be toned down a little bit for the sour IPA personally. Yeah. Although I will say New Belgium has a nice sour IPA.
I have not had that.
It's good. Just check it out. I had some, fridge full of Wicked Weed.
Nice.
Yeah. New Day, you know what? I took a picture of it. I didn't even send it to you guys. It was this haul. Did I tell you about this?
I don't think so.
Absolute haul from Wicked Weed. Let me see if I can find the picture. You ever find that, like, if you take a picture, like, you can't find it a week later because you take so many stupid pictures with your phone?
Oh, yeah.
And so many cute pictures of your children, of course.
I don't have kids, but definitely the stupid pics. Yeah.
Right. Most of mine are, like, weird screenshots and things of that nature. I can't find this beer now. But obviously pernicious Freak of Nature in cans. Very excited about that. Double IPA. Excellent double IPA. Pernicious is a fantastic IPA. I think it's New Day is the hoppy lager. And then some sour. And then some stouts, which I haven't opened. The Guilty Pleasures 4-pack dessert stouts.
That is very good.
Yeah. Sounds great.
I would like to drink some of those.
The gentleman, the podcast listener who sent them to me, said he couldn't DM you. I sent you that, right?
Yeah, yeah. I went to Twitter to try to rectify that as quickly as possible.
Okay, well let's make it happen. All right, that's the show. Good stuff, fellas. We will talk to you next week.
Now streaming on Paramount Plus. Gather your besties.
We are very exclusive.
And get ready.
Taco Mix Nuts.
For sure, Regina. Yeah.
For the movie that hits like a bus. In a good way.
No one died.
Mean Girls.
Rated PG-13.
Now streaming on Paramount Plus.